Good evening, everybody, and welcome. To those of you who are here in person, thank you for taking time to come and join us within these walls. This room, which is called the Sanctuary, is one of my favorite places to be. During my preparations for a service a couple of years ago, I decided to ask Google, what was the definition of the word sanctuary? She gave me several meanings, but the one I liked the best and appreciated the most was that it was a place of safety and healing. Out there, there's this thing called a pandemic going on, and sometimes we may not feel safe at all. Sometimes there might be stress and anxiety. But for tonight, I would ask that you would just close your eyes for a moment and remind yourself that this is a safe place. Nothing will hurt you in this room. And I assume, for those of you watching at home, that you are in safe places as well. My 94-year-old friend from work that I've kept in touch with for over 30 years phoned me one day and she said all she wanted for Christmas was for COVID to be over. And I think we would all agree that it would be really nice to get back to a day when we don't have to be 6 feet apart. So let us begin. Today is October 15th, 2020, National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. As you can well imagine, a service like this would not be possible without the help and dedication of many, many people. And so, I was going to introduce you to the board of directors, which I still will, but unfortunately they won't be able to wave at you and say hi like I hoped they would. So we currently have, there's six of us that run the group. Also, at the back of the room, working audiovisual and putting what Peter so graciously created for me together and making it work out is Rob Morrison, and I thank him for taking time from his family tonight to spend this time with us. And then all of that lead pastor, Dr. Laura Nelson, who will be delivering the message of inspiration and hope a little later in the service. I am so grateful for all of your help. So there is a website called October15th.ca, and it has a listing of activities and events that are taking place today and this week that you can look at. It is National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Day, but so around Canada and in many places in the U.S. and around the world, many activities are happening to remember the children that we lost. I'd like to show you a short video clip from that website that I thought was very meaningful, and it is called Still. What am I going to tell you about Quinn? He's six. He's smart, engaging, and funny, precocious, annoying, and I think the most amazing gift that I've gotten. I don't often think about talking about Quinn except in the context for how grateful I am that Quinn is here and that had Avery not come before him, I wouldn't be blessed with the gift of Quinn.
The thing is, I've always loved the ring. Always will. I've always seen the ring in different meanings. And it was pouring rain that day. And I took off in my truck. And I just kept asking, yelling all the way over there. Why? Why, God? Why? Then I start yelling to Elena. I told her all these raindrops that are coming down. That's how much your puppy loves you.
You give that positive pregnancy test, I'm going to have a baby. No. Once you've had a lot to give a positive pregnancy test and they go, I'm pregnant.
The world thinks we should be done.
Why?
Why should we be done? They're here. They're in our family. We should forget them. We were struggling all these years, even though we still are, to say stillbirth, miscarriage, infant death. It matters, people. Wake up. This is the future. These are our children who could have, should have lived. And there it is.
I always like seeing her in the morning. I always remember I would go to her room and like rub her tummy and be like, can't wait for my, you know, brother or sister to be here.
The picture is painted. Imagine black and white and then going into color.
It's hard because you have so much fun and so many things that you want to do with that one person.
And so here's this colorful garden, beautiful flowers and future that they have planted, and they're told their baby either will die or has died.
It's difficult to, like, you know, move forward on with what you want to do, especially, like, not having a baby there with you. It's complicated.
So now that baby doesn't have that future. Those parents, their dreams are dashed. Their hopes are, you know, ground into the Grand Canyon of pain. What can they do? They will never get the first smile, the first day of school, the first dance, the prom, the wedding, the grandchild. It's all gone. This is it. We need to make it as big and bold and beautiful. We are family, and no one can take that from us. No one can ever take that family, the whole family, from us.
My purpose and life is much clearer. I have two jobs that I find completely rewarding and important. And the first one is to be a mother to Quinn. And the second is to be a mother to Avery. And the way that I do them is very different.
We've changed. We're different. I feel better. We are blessed. I'm grateful.
I'm sure that most of you could identify with some of those feelings. Losing a child will forever change who you are as a person, as a couple, as a family, and the way you parent your future children and mom. As a society, we don't handle death well, and some people would just expect you to get over the loss. But as much as it is true that time heals, as I've said to some of you already, it's been 25 years since the stillbirth of our daughter Angel, and I can still tell you everything that happened on that day. The memories are that clear. She is still a part of our family, and we still remember that experience. And that is why, after all these years, Peter and I are still working with this group, because it's the only parenting we can do to the children we've lost, and we want to give back to those who come after us and help them on their healing journey. Usually, I would take this opportunity to invite someone to come forward and light our candle for us, but as you can see on the table in front of you, the candles have already been lit, because it was requested that we do that. So I'd like to now direct your attention to the white candle, which we call the candle of community. We are a community of bereaved parents, friends, and family. And there are a number of us in this community. As in any community, we have various age groups as well. and this is the part of the service we like to dedicate to the children. So if those of you who are on Zoom would like to draw your children close, we have a special story for you, and the adults can eavesdrop as well. Normally, we would have the children come forward, sit on the stairs, and the narrator would sit in the front row and read the book. But what's normal these days? So I'm extremely grateful to Tabitha Parsons, who came to our home and read the book into my phone so that we could record her and video the book so that it would be available for you. So you will see the pictures up on the screen, and you will hear Tabitha reading Molly's Rosebush.
This is the story of Molly's Rosebush by Janice Cohen and illustrated by Gail Owens. It was early summer, and Molly was snuggled in the window seat in her bedroom. An afternoon rain had just stopped falling, and sunshine had begun to filter through the light gray sky. Molly was looking at the rosebush in the garden. Its pink petals glistened with raindrops, and it gave off a lovely, sweet fragrance that drifted in through the open window. The rosebush was very special to Molly and her mom and dad, and Molly was remembering why. She thought about a day several months before. It had been winter then, and very bright and cold. Molly had a busy day at school and was bursting with things to tell Susan, her babysitter. But when the school bus pulled up in front of her house, she was surprised to see her dad waiting for her. He told her that her mom was home resting and that they both wanted to talk with Molly. When Molly and her dad went upstairs, they found Molly's mother in bed, propped up with pillows. She looked a little pale and tired. When Molly gave her a hello kiss, she saw tears in her mommy's eyes. "Are you feeling sad, Mommy?" Molly asked, touching her mom's cheek. "Yes, honey, I am. Come cuddle beside me. Daddy and I have something to tell you. It's about the new baby we've all been looking forward to," her dad said. "Our new baby?" Molly asked. Her dad nodded and took Molly's hand. "Mom and I found out today that our baby isn't going to be born." "Ever?" asked Molly. "Ever," said her dad. "Remember the times we talked about how a baby grows inside its mommy's womb?" Molly's mom said, "Well, sometimes something happens and the baby can't grow anymore. It's sort of like when a flower bud doesn't get to blossom into a flower. Even when a mommy takes very good care of the baby inside her, sometimes it's just not strong enough to live. But why did it happen? Why did it happen to our baby?" "We don't really know, Molly," her dad told her. "Some people think that God decides these things for reasons we don't understand. Some people think it's just the way things happen in nature." Molly was quiet for a bit, and then her mom asked Jeffany, "Do you want to tell us what you're thinking?" "Well, is our baby still inside you?" "That's a very good question," her mom said. "The baby isn't in my womb anymore. After a baby stops growing, it leaves the mommy's body. Sometimes this happens by itself, and sometimes the doctor helps." "Did you have to go to the doctor?" "Yes, I did," her mother told her. "Are you feeling sick?" asked Molly, a little worried. "I'm just tired," her mom said. "So I'm going to get lots of rest for the next couple of days, and then I'll be fine." That made Molly feel better, and she lay quietly in her mother's arms. After a little while, her dad told Molly that it was time for her mom to take a nap. As he and Molly headed downstairs, Molly asked, "Will we ever have a new baby?" "Well, I'm not sure, honey. I hope so," said her dad. "But no matter what happens, do you know what the most important thing is? That we have each other to love and care for." That night, as Molly was getting ready for bed, she picked up her favorite doll, Sarah. "You know what, Sarah? I'm not going to be a big sister. Remember when I told you I would get to be one when summer comes? And that I would help Mommy take care of the baby, just like I take care of you? Well, our baby isn't going to get to be born because it wasn't strong enough." Molly gave her doll a hug.
But don't feel bad, Sarah. Daddy said that I might be a big sister someday. The next morning, Molly and her grandma took a walk in the park. They slept under a tall maple tree whose branches were all bare because it was winter. Molly's grandmother reminded her that the last spring, when the tree is full of leaves and birds, they had seen a robin's nest on a big, sturdy branch. Remember when we saw the robin sitting on our eggs? And we found one egg on the ground that hadn't hatched? Molly nodded. Well, not every robin's egg becomes a baby robin. Babies don't always get to be born. This happens with people and with all living things. That's why, when a baby does get born, it's so special and wonderful. I remember the day you were born, Molly. How happy we all were. Molly smiled. I'm glad I got to be born. And so am I, said her grandmother, giving her a squeeze. Molly and her grandma walked to the end of the park. Mommy and Daddy feel sad about our baby, Molly said after a while. Yes, I know. And how do you feel? Sad, I guess, Molly said. Grandma nodded. It's a sad time for all of us. She bent down and looked into Molly's eyes. Sometimes sad things happen, and we don't understand why. All we can do is just feel whatever way we are feeling and try to help each other feel better. What do you think would make you feel better, Molly? Molly thought for a moment, for she wasn't really sure. How would you like it if we spent some extra time together, just the two of us? We could bake oatmeal cookies, Grandma suggested. Oh, yes, Molly said. And maybe we could do something to help Mommy feel better, too. I heard her crying this morning. I think a hug and a kiss from you would be a real comfort to her, Grandma said. I could do that, said Molly, and give her an extra big hug. I have another idea, said her grandmother. Why don't you and I walk to the plant store and get a special plant for Mommy? Mommy likes roses, Molly said. Pink roses are her favorite. Yes, they are, her grandmother agreed. Let's see if we can order a little rose bush that we can plant in the spring. And that's just what they did. When spring came, when the ground was soft and warm, Molly and her parents planted the bush in their favorite part of the garden. As the days became filled with sun and warmth, they watched it sprout leaves, then buds, and finally flowers. Once in a while, Molly noticed a bud that hadn't bloomed and made her feel a little sad. But almost all the roses did bloom, and the rose bush would bloom again every summer.
Molly asks two very important and relevant questions in the story. The first one is, why did this happen to our baby? And who of us has not asked that question a million times? Sometimes the baby's birth or tests that are done afterwards give us an answer to those questions. Sometimes they don't. And as Grandma points out, sometimes sad things happen and we don't know and don't understand why. And it's okay to feel sad, and it is okay to cry. Molly also asks, will we ever have another baby? And this too is an important and relevant question. When Peter and I delivered Angel in 1995, and someone asked me, Nancy, are you going to have another baby? Will you try again? I probably would have said no. After two miscarriages and a 20-week stillbirth, I didn't think I was strong enough to go through the experience again. But as healing began to take place, and through an incredible series of events that happened in the few months after her delivery, we did get pregnant again. And on May 8th of 1996, our daughter Jennifer joined her 7.5-year-old sister, and our family was complete. I did parent Jennifer very differently than I parented Nicole. And I tell people that I have two miracle children. Nicole is the miracle of my youth. When in naive bliss, once I passed through the first trimester, when I knew that sometimes things happened, I never stopped believing that I would bring a baby home, and thankfully we did. Jennifer was the baby of our pain, the miracle of our pain. After everything we had gone through, when I almost started believing that we would never give birth to another child, she came into our lives. And like they said on the video, that was an incredible miracle to be celebrated. And that is the wish that I have for each of you, that it is, if it is your desire to have another child and try again, that you will be blessed to hold your baby in your arms. Those subsequent pregnancies aren't easy, but it is so worth it. But the choice of whether to and if and when should be completely up to you, and there should be no pressure felt from others who think you should just forget and move on. You never forget. Every year, we choose a special song to accompany the service. And this year, the group has chosen a song by Daughtry called Gone Too Soon. And we would like to share that with you now. Now we turn our attention to the next candle on the table. It is the pink candle of love. We meet tonight to share our love for our children. And I want to add at this point, too, that although they are not here with us, and we miss them dearly, and we grieve them, I believe that they knew they were loved. And I believe that one day we will be reunited again. And I'm also pretty sure that if they could give you a message, they would remind you, as I've reminded people in the group so many times, that this was not your fault. What happened was not something you caused or something you did. It was something that happened to you and something you could not have prevented, even if you had known it was going to happen and had wanted to. So if you don't take anything else away from tonight, please take that with you. And never forget that you are loved and you were the best parents, families, and friends to those babies that you could possibly be under the circumstances. It now gives me great pleasure to introduce Olivet's lead pastor, Dr. Laura Nelson, to share with you what is on her heart.
Thanks, Nancy. It is indeed a pleasure to be with you all tonight. When I was growing up, if I was sad or troubled over something, my dad would stop and he'd look at me and he'd say, "Let me see you smile." And I had to force a smile in the midst of not feeling like smiling at all. I had to put on a happy face and just deny how I was truly feeling. When my mom passed away, we had a family meeting about 2 weeks after she had passed, and it was to read her will, and I was crying. And my dad pulled my brother aside and said, "Laura needs to get it together." My dad couldn't handle heartache. Have you had people approach you expecting you to have gotten over the loss of your child? I would bet that you have had experiences where people just want to see that you're doing okay and see that you're no longer tearful at the loss of your child. There are those who just don't understand the depth of the grief of losing a child before they were born or when they were little, just like was mentioned on that video. And there are those like my dad who cannot handle the heartache of others. I want to affirm for you all this evening just to be able to step into the depth of your feelings and to not have them minimized. We need to have places where we can grieve losses, and so glad for opportunities like this and that you have places like Empty Cradle where you can share your stories and your grief. In the book that was read, and then Nancy reaffirmed this, the grandmother said, "Sometimes sad things happen and we don't understand why. All we can do is just feel whatever way we're feeling and try to help each other feel better." It's not helping each other feel better in terms of covering it all up, but knowing that there is someone who cares, someone else who has walked the journey. There is a couple that I'm aware of that have lost their son to suicide, and I really appreciated hearing about their story. And one thing that they did was that they made an agreement as a couple to not try to talk one another out of their pain. They would just put their arm around the other person and just in silence be there. Often we try to cheer one another up, but that's not what we need. Grief kind of tends to come, I think, in waves. You know, one minute you can handle it, and then the next minute you can't. And when one person is experiencing a hard time, well, another might be doing okay. I remember once being in a small boat on the ocean and was in some really rough water. And I was driving one boat, and my sister was behind me in another boat. And she later commented that when I would go down into the trough of a wave, I would totally disappear out of her sight. She said it was so unnerving. We both made it safely to where we were going, but definitely a challenging ride. As a spouse, you know, you can be on different places on that wave. One down in the trough, and then somebody else on the crest of the wave. It's challenging, but you just have to care for one another, know that keep pressing forward, and eventually you will reach the other side. One person noted, it's not your job to make your partner happy. It's your job to enter their pain. We need to be kind to one another, letting the tears come. So great to see that man on that video with those tears freely coming, like rain, he said. Because there is no limit of time on grief. As I thought about this evening, I decided that I wanted to focus on tears. Emotional tears really do have health benefits. Whereas, you know, those continuous tears that we have just watering our eyes, they're like 98% water. But emotional tears contain stress hormones and other toxins. And a study that was done in 2014, they found that crying, this emotional crying, has a direct self-soothing effect on people. Tears are good and precious. There's a verse in the Bible from Psalm 56:8 that says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." In ancient Egypt and Palestine, when someone had died, during the time of mourning, they would pass around a little bottle, probably smaller than this, and each mourner would put a tear in it. And then they would take this little bottle and they would place it in the coffin or the tomb as a sign of love and devotion, honoring the loss, the grief, and pain. What a beautiful picture. And this person writing this psalm saw how God does this. He doesn't minimize our suffering, but he collects our tears in a bottle. Just think about that. He sees each tear. He knows your heartache. And he cares. God doesn't stand aloof or apart from us in our times of distress. Rather, he takes personal note of our tears. Those tears are sacred and precious. He doesn't say, "Cheer up, let me see you smile." But he catches those tears and weeps with us. This book of Psalms that's in the Bible has 150 of these kind of poetic writings. And they express all sorts of emotions, probably all the emotions there are. And a third of these psalms are actually psalms of lament, of groanings. It is okay to come to God and groan and complain, express anger, hurt, frustration. He can handle it. We can turn to him, telling him how we feel. He isn't detached or remote, but he has compassion. Today, I want to acknowledge your pain and remind you, you're not walking alone in this journey. The loss of a child is not something you get over, but rather you get through it. Kind of like losing a limb. Yes, your body will heal, but you will always be aware that something is missing. Continue to tell the story, to remember, to allow yourself to grieve, and to care for one another in those ups and downs. And know that God suffers with you. His love is for you, catching every tear. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. And if you need someone to talk with, I'm sure Laura will be available. We are almost at the end of our service now, but this is the part which is your participation part. There is a third candle on the table, and it is the purple candle of memory. Each one of you was offered a candle when you came in, and I hope you each took one. In a few moments, I'm going to ask Peter to come and light three special candles on behalf of our family and the Empty Cradle group. After he has done this, we'll play some music, and please feel free to come forward and light a candle for your child as well, or children. If you would like to say a few words, share your name, or some thoughts, please feel free to do so. Light your candle from a tall tapered candle and then place it around the base of one of the other candles. When you have done this, please take some roses from the display. Feel free to take one for each of your children and maybe an extra for a friend who you might think may need it. And when you look at these roses, remember, your child loves you and they are loved as well. These roses are still. They will never die. Put them somewhere where you will see them every day. And remember, for those of you on Zoom, this is the part that breaks my heart the most, because it was my intent to have you all participate as well by lighting your candles and saying something to the group, because I thought we were going to be able to show the grid with all of you on the overhead. But unfortunately, that was the biggest glitch of this service. So please do light your candles and acknowledge your children. And when we get home tonight, because we can't just hand you a rose through the computer screen, there will be a PDF sent to everyone, here or there, in the group, of a rose that you can keep as a memento. So Peter, would you like to come forward? I'm going to ask Peter to light three candles. The first one is for the three children we lost, for our Chris, our Vic, and our Angel. The second one will be a candle for all the families we have met through the Empty Cradle group, and each child that is represented in the group, but whose families are not able to join us this evening. And the third candle will be for all the people around the world who may not have a support group or people to acknowledge how precious their child was. Additionally, I'll just mention it now while Peter finishes and then goes back to his computer to allow people to light theirs, that in addition to today being National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Day, around the world, there is something called the River of Light. Starting in New Zealand and going all the way around the world through to Hawaii, at 7 p.m., people have been lighting candles for their babies and then extinguishing them at 8 o'clock. So from one end of the world to the other, for 24 hours, there is a continuous river of light for our children. And we encourage you, those of you at home, to leave your candles lit until 8 o'clock to be part of that tradition. So now, we'll start the music, and please come forward as you are ready to light your candles.
Thank you.
though there aren't as many camels this year, it still takes my breath away to see the little camels surrounding the big ones. It reminds me that even the smallest light can brighten a room. Our children's candles were extinguished far too soon, but they have left an impression that will live with us for a lifetime. We want to thank you for joining us this evening. We hope that it was worth the trip here, that it was worth watching on Zoom, and we hope that you found it beneficial and that this will be a huge step forward in your journey towards healing. Sadly, we're not able to offer you refreshments this year, so I've asked Pastor Laura to come forward and read a special poem for you that we traditionally end our services with, and then she will dismiss you. And we want to thank you for joining us this evening.
So this is a responsive reading, and I see you have it there on Zoom, so that will work well. I'm going to say a line, and then you respond with, "We remember them." So we remember them after each line, okay? In the rising of the sun and in its going down, we remember them. In the blowing of the wind and in the chill of winter, we remember them. In the opening of buds and in the rebirth of spring, we remember them. In the blueness of the sky and in the warmth of summer, we remember them. In the rustling of leaves and in the beauty of autumn, we remember them. As long as we live, they too will live, for they are part of us, and we remember them. When we are weary and in need of strength, we remember them. When we are lost and sick at heart, we remember them. When we have joys we yearn to share, we remember them. When we have decisions that are difficult to make, we remember them. From the beginning of the year until it ends, we remember them. As long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us, as we remember them. Thank you. And just ask that as you leave, you know, just watch the whole distancing. And great to have you here. Many blessings on you.